hot flashes, brain fog, and sleepless nights, and you're still expected to lead the 9 a.m. meeting. Menopause touches every corner of life, health, home, and the workplace. Yet too many women are navigating it in silence. Today, Menalux founder and executive menopause coach Patrice Roll joins us to break down Menopause 101, share her personal story, and show leaders how to build menopause-inclusive workplaces. We'll also dive into her new workbook, Your Menopause Roadmap, and the practical steps that help women feel more in control at every stage of the transition.
Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're demystifying menopause, what to expect, the symptom spectrum, treatment pathways, and then moving into Patrice's story, why she created Menalux, and how her coaching and workbook guide women and workplaces toward real sustainable support. With all of that said, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alexis. I'm happy to be here.
So, a little bit of backstory. We, through our partnership with Oak Tree, we have done a number of different conversations and topics on the show in the past few months. One of the ones we did was with Dr. Carmen Cartwright, who's an endocrinologist, and we talked about women's hormonal health through the stages of life. And so we did a small section of that conversation covered menopause, but we've been meaning to get back to do a full conversation in the space, partly because, you know, I think there's a lot of ground to cover, and then also because we kept hearing between me and my wife so many people asking and who are, I guess, women who are just starting to go into that menopausal phase and just not knowing what to do. What really expedited was I got a message from a lady in our church last week, and she was like, you know, send me your episode on menopause. And I was like, well, we don't really have a full one. We've been meaning to do one. And I had seen your name, and I'd seen your website, and I kind of had an idea. And I'm like, okay, so maybe it's time we reach out and formally try and make this happen. But she said, you know, she was praying with a lady, and she was going through so much different things. And when they finally went through, like, because I guess a part of it was prayer, wisdom, guidance, and then just seeing her doctor. And a part of the issue was she was starting to go through menopause, but the symptoms were so severe, like she literally went to another woman in prayer because that was the only thing that she could think to do. And so that is kind of the background of how we got here. Like I said, knowing that we had been wanting to do it for a while, but then that was that final impetus to say, no, we have to do it now because clearly this is an issue. And then as we were talking pre-show, you know, you're mentioning October 18th is World Menopause Day. And so that puts us right in that sweet spot of being able to get this information at a time, and it's going to be relevant and very helpful for people. You know, I've looked through your website. I know that you have a health and wellness bend to how you approach this, which is always, we are very much a podcast that is embracing the concept of like the eight dimensions of wellness, lifestyle medicine, whole person health. So, you know, we are always excited to bring on someone who's talking from a similar standpoint and from a similar worldview. So we are excited to talk with you today. Like I said, we're going to go through some nuts and bolts basics, but, you know, obviously you want to get to your book, your coaching practice, and really dive into what you do to help women as they navigate through this menopausal space. So let's start at the beginning. You know, there's menopause, there's perimenopause, and obviously there's postmenopause when you're done with all of that. What is the difference between the three phases?
That is a great question. I have a lot of women coming to me asking me that same question. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, you know, menopause is a three-stage transition. Mm-hmm. And it's a natural biological transition for a woman. So you have the perimenopause stage, mm-hmm. and that can happen anywhere between age 35 and 45. And it's usually that time when you're seeing these symptoms mm-hmm. that you talked about, the hot flashes. You have the night sweats, the cold, I call it the cold chills, mm-hmm. sleepless nights. You have the erratic periods. And some women at that time go through anxiety attacks. They go through depression. Mm-hmm. And that's your body telling you that, hey, we're getting ready to come out of our childbearing years and we're going into your next stage. Mm-hmm. And so women at this stage, some women have, I guess, more symptoms. They have more intense symptoms that affect them. And because they're not aware of it, they think it's some medical issue that's going on. But in menopause, you have your estrogen, you have your progesterone, and your testosterone, and they're all declining, right? I mean, a woman was born with all of her eggs.
Right.
And so at that time, between 35 is considered geriatric pregnancy. And so by that time, your body's saying, we're about to shut down the baby-making factory, and we're getting ready to transition into this new time in your life. So that's perimenopause. And then we move on to menopause, right? And perimenopause, before I move on, can last anywhere between 6 to 10 years.
That's crazy.
It is crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but it gives you enough time to prepare, because it's really, you spent a lot of time in getting prepared for your periods and in your childbearing years. And so you need that time for your body to adjust to go into menopause, because that's what you're going to be in for the rest of your life, if you really think about it, right? And then you have menopause. Interestingly enough, menopause is really only 12 months of not seeing your period. Right? And then you're officially, according to medical terms, you're officially in menopause. And then, I mean, at that time, you know, we don't talk about the symptoms because they can still be there, right? And one day after, you're considered post-menopause.
Just like that.
Yeah. And so women can get, the symptoms can either decrease or go away, or, you know, go away for a long time and pop up, go away again. But you're in menopause for the rest of your life after that. So, you know, that's your three stages, and your hormones continue to decline during that stage.
You know, I think between, like, what we see in media space in terms of, like, TV, movies, things like that, I feel like most people have their head wrapped around, generally speaking, you know, the most common symptoms. So things like hot flashes, the night sweats, the cold chills, things like that. I think, at least from my vantage point, the one that kind of stuck out to me during our conversation with Dr. Cartwright, and even just in terms of looking through some of the information, is on the, like, the mental health side, so things like anxiety and things like that. You know, what are some of the lesser known symptoms maybe in that mental health space that may surprise women, where it's like, oh, like, I didn't consider that this might be a part of, you know, and this may be a sign that I'm in perimenopause or menopause.
Right. Believe it or not, there is probably over 100 symptoms of menopause. Let's just inhale on that. Right? And that is crazy, right?
That's a large number.
Right. And we don't experience all of them all at once. And some women, maybe 20% of women don't have any symptoms.
The lucky ones.
Right. I wasn't. But the mental health, the anxiety, I find, I had a client who literally said to me, I drove my son into school like I normally do, and her son was in high school at that time, and when he got out of the car, she couldn't remember how to get out of the schoolyard.
Oh wow. Right, because brain fog is one of them as well.
And that's, yeah, that, and some women you know, talk about dementia, and again, we'll get into that later in the show. But anxiety, and then we have the frozen shoulders, where we have the pain where the shoulders get stiff, and it comes and it goes. Some women don't experience it. A lot of women are experiencing it. And then we have the dry skin. We have women who, we have a higher rate now of women in between the perimenopause and menopause stage that are depressed. And the rate of suicide around that time is higher in women. It's increased from 6 to 12% in the U.S. And so, you know, we may not think that that is related, but when you have your estrogen and they like prompt the neurostimulators and your serotonin, your dopamine, you know, all of these things are motivators and mood stabilizers. When estrogen goes out of the window, a lot of that affects the mental for women, but because we're so busy taking care of everyone else, we don't pay attention to that.
Right.
And another one that's been taking a very big attention in the space of menopause is genitourinary symptoms of menopause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the vaginal dryness, vaginal prolapse,
mm-hmm.
you know, which affects the intimacy with your partner. We have crawly skin, itchy ears.
Mm-hmm.
Some women end up having dental problems, mouth problems.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so the list goes on and on. But it's really, menopause looks different on every woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so the list is there, but you need to know the list to recognize
yeah.
it.
I think the thing that was interesting for me was perimenopause just as a thing that exists. And then, you know, when you're mentioning how long that can last, that is a long time to be going through, especially, and that's the thing, because I think what it sounds like is it's not even necessarily that you have the exact same symptom pattern all the time. And so it's like today it might be this, tomorrow it might be something else, and the day after that it might be something completely different. And so navigating, like you said, especially in our current time where you have women who are, you know, managing their home, they may be leaders in their workspace, they may be doing work in their community or their church, and then you have this added to that mix, and it can feel, I imagine, overwhelming to have so many things that you're trying to kind of take care of, and then you just have these things that are happening and you're not quite aware that, you know, it might be the start of my menopause journey. And it's like, okay, how do you manage all of this going on with everything else that's happening? You know, you mentioned that perimenopause can last anything from seven to 10 years. You know, why do you think it looks, because obviously with a symptom list of over 100 symptoms, I imagine you're going to have, even for you in your practice, in your business, you have so many different types of stories that women bring into your office and into your work. Why does it look so different from woman to woman? Like, why isn't it? So like, because, and I know it's not a disease, right? So we think about heart disease. Heart disease has a very particular way where in most instances it looks like this, this, and this, right? So obviously it's not a disease profile, but why do you think it's still so different, the experience from woman to woman in both the symptomatology, how long it lasts, and, you know, that sort of space?
I would start with the fact that a woman's body is very complex. Very, very complex, you know, and to the medical field, I think it's still baffling. You know, according to the studies,
mm-hmm.
doctors have only had between maybe 3% education on men, how to handle menopausal women.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have estrogen receptors all through our bodies that helps the body operate properly. And you throw in there your genetics, you know, your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing if you're a smoker, if you're a drinker,
right?
And if you have any other pre-existing conditions. So that's why menopause looks different.
Mm-hmm.
Even cultural differences,
that's
right? Because you have in Korea, women look at menopause as a rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a time of elevating
mm-hmm.
to the hierarchy or, you know, in the family. And so they're celebrated. And they don't call it menopause. They don't call it menopause. And so you never know, and it's not even viewed as that. It's viewed as your rite of passage
mm-hmm.
to becoming the matriarch
right.
in the family.
I guess it's almost in the same way where when you start menstruating for the first time, it's like it's that rite of passage into starting to become a woman. And it's in the same way now. It's like you said, you're moving now at this stage of life into that matriarchal role.
Absolutely.
As the head female in the family, that sort of thing. So it's a very unique way to look at it. And I imagine it may make that transition easier if you're looking at it as something to be celebrated and not something to be feared or suffered through, which I imagine, I think on our side of the world, we kind of look at it more like that. Yeah. You know, I know this might be a difficult question to answer because it's so different from woman to woman, but generally speaking, what can women expect from month to month? Like when you start down this journey of being in perimenopause, menopause, just like I said, it's tough because there's so many different things that come
right.
into place.
You know, Alexis, I tell women, you need to slow down and pay attention to what's going on with your body. And you, when you pay attention to what's going on with your body, you will notice when there's a change.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're saying what you can expect month for month, it can be different. I mean, some women have hot flashes, mm-hmm. and they have it daily, and that'll last for years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some women have cold chills,
mm-hmm.
and that can last for years, off and on, off and on. Some women have the erratic sleep patterns where you up at 3 a.m. in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that can be off and on according to weeks, and it also depends on the stress level that
right.
you have as well. And so it's kind of hard to say, but I know the most obvious ones that we see is the hot flashes,
mm-hmm.
The night sweats, and the sleepless nights, the sleep disruption.
Mm-hmm.
We see that a lot. And then I see where women are having the anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly around driving, maybe because it's very difficult to manage traffic in this country. You know, with all these cars on
yep.
the street and, you know, bumper to bumper traffic, mm-hmm. it's crazy.
Somebody always pulling out of a corner, somebody always stopping short, not
absolutely.
Moving off the light. Yeah.
But I realized too, one that stood out for me is the mood swings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your tolerance for, you know, what you could have dealt with when you're dealing with people and people on the job,
mm-hmm.
even your loved ones, you're a little bit more snappier. Your patience is very short, and you're more irritable.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you notice that, then you can write that down and say, hey, I see that.
Mm-hmm.
I see this other symptom, and hey, maybe I am getting there. And you look at your age, where you're at, and you will know. Just log your symptoms, which is very important for women to
yeah.
log it, because then it gives them context.
Mm-hmm. But it also gives you, it if you're logging your symptoms, it means, like you said, the first part of your point is you're actually paying attention to what's happening in your body.
Absolutely.
You're taking stock. You're listening to what your body is telling you. But it also helps. I know we've had so many different conversations with so many different physicians. And one of the things that they always stress is if you can come in with as much information as possible about what you've been experiencing, you can provide as much information for the medical history. It also makes that journey, if you are seeing your OB or an endocrinologist or someone in the medical space, as you're going through this, the more information you have that you can provide them, the better equipped they are to assist you from the medical side of this conversation, right? You know, where does lifestyle fit in the menopausal journey? Like, how much does lifestyle changes, stress management, sleep management, you know, what we eat, what time we eat, all of those different things, how do those areas play into a woman's menopausal journey, and how might it make it easier or more difficult, depending on, you know, what your lifestyle habits are?
That is a great question. The theme for this year's World Menopause Day is lifestyle medicine.
Really?
Yeah.
You on it?
Yeah. And so, you know, it's very important to note that lifestyle has everything to do with health.
Mm-hmm.
When you're eating right or eating properly, and you're giving your body enough nutrition,
mm-hmm.
You see the changes. When you're hydrating, hydration eases a lot of, well, lessens the hot flashes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some women may not think about that. And then you have these migraines that come with that. And hydration and reducing the caffeine,
mm-hmm.
Exercising tend to boost your mood. And not only that, you have something called sarcopenia,
mm-hmm.
which is loss of muscle during aging itself. But menopause, because the estrogen and the testosterone is going down.
So much changes with the hormones.
Right. And so you have to exercise. A body in motion stays in motion.
Mm-hmm.
We're living longer, and we want to live well.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be able to take care of ourselves in our older years. And then stress. We need to learn how to manage stress.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, that's a number one killer, mm-hmm. I think, in our country. And we look at stress as, oh, it's something that we should manage, but we need to normalize just eliminating some stress.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body isn't designed to be under constant stress all the time. And so if you're going to exercise, you're gonna, you know, think about the way you're breathing. Are you breathing deep enough? Is your body getting enough oxygen? You know, are you getting enough sunlight?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these things are stimulators, right? How are you showing up in your relationships? Do you have a support team? You need that. You need that support, especially for aging women who now have their parents who are aging and they have to take care of them. You know, how are you managing that?
Yeah.
You know, so, and your mental that goes along with that, are you taking care of that? So all of these things go hand in hand. It's if you can get a handle on your lifestyle, proper lifestyle management, you will definitely see a difference.
Yeah. I think though there's two things that stand out to me. I'm going to say this in a way that doesn't sound mean. For most of the women that I know in my life, women just are horrible at maintaining drinking water. Like, I've been fighting with my wife over getting enough hydration for the entirety of our marriage. And I, like I said, I know just generally speaking, having other friends who, you know, their wives, their daughters, whatever, that's just something that I just feel like there needs to be a campaign, especially for women to drink more water, because I feel like that's just a general challenge. They would go against Starbucks and then not drink the water. Just, like I said, just from, and that may be anecdotal from my personal experience, but a lot of the women I know, it is it's an actual struggle. And I know from the men in their lives, like, I can't, there's nothing I can do. Like, I try, I bought the bottle, you know, the all day bottle, I bought the Stanley, it's cold all day, and still, it's a struggle. The other one that stands out though, and it's funny, because my wife and I were having a conversation about this morning, the importance of community for women, because it seems like so much of the way society is built up has been to kind of start to pull people into these spaces of isolation. And just even if you look at it from a biblical perspective, we're not meant to live in isolation. We are meant to live in community. And I think especially for women, being able to find that communal space, a sisterhood, people who are, you know, in the same age and stage in life, because they're able to kind of tell you their experiences and you don't realize, well, wait, we all have the same issue. And then it's like you find a way to, well, this is how I deal with it, and this is how I deal with it, and this is what I ran into, and I might be a year ahead of you, and so this is what you need to look out for, and things like that become very helpful. And then just sometimes a place where, because I will say, husbands ain't always the best. The male side of the equation, the relationship, we're not always the best. And so having a space with people who are able to truly hear and understand the fullness of what you're saying and be able to kind of just talk through it, I just think community is a very, very critical part of that. And I imagine even in a space of what you're doing, that's a part of it. You're giving women a space to come in and talk with someone who's had their own journey already, who's able to kind of talk to them from personal experience, a lot of research and investigation and, you know, development of knowledge to then be able to help women. Because I imagine as we get into your story in a bit, you know, that kind of informed how you moved into this space in the first place.
Absolutely.
You know, I like to give people some quick things that they can just take and try to implement. So what would be just a simple, hey, you can start to do this today to help make your menopause journey better? Give me three things that a woman, if she feels like she's already in that space, that she can, especially in the lifestyle space, that she can start to do today that would say, okay, this will help with symptom management, with stress management, anxiety. Just what would those three things be?
That's a tough one, but I wanted to address the fact that women don't like to hydrate. And I want to say all hydration is not the same. Water doesn't equate to hydration.
That is true.
And so we need to approach that from another angle. We have coconut water. We have watermelon. All of these little melons and
fruits. Right, all the different fruits.
So you want to think about that. And I didn't even touch sleep. But I would start to address your question. I would start with sleep. Honor your sleep. Really get rid of the the phone mm-hmm. at a certain time. Make sure that your sleep is golden mm-hmm. and you honor that. Make a set time in the afternoons when you're going to power down because the day demands so much of you. When you sleep, your body is healing mm-hmm. itself and you need that. And even producing some estrogen and progesterone and testosterone that you may need and that you do need. Mm-hmm. So you need to honor your sleep.
Okay.
And then you need to move. You need to exercise, even if it means taking a little walk around the block, even if it means taking a small yoga class or something that you enjoy, maybe even dancing in your front room or your kitchen when you're cooking. Mm-hmm. You know, we love the music. I mean, I love music. It's very therapeutic. Sleep, movement, mm-hmm. and your mental. We think 40,000 negative thoughts daily. You could imagine when your serotonin and your dopamine drops, what that does to a woman's mm-hmm. mental space. So you need to guard your mental. You need to understand that certain things that trigger you, pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. Because I think mental and stress goes hand in hand. And you need if you get to the point where you feel like it's overwhelming, then you need to seek help.
Yeah.
You know, and for some people, they don't want to go to a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. But cognitive behavioral therapy is very important. I'm actually starting a course next year on that.
That's exciting.
And yes, I love it. I call it talk therapy. Mm-hmm. And you say community is important. But when you can find a space where you feel safe to talk, and mm-hmm. no one else is going to talk your business, you know, that gives you so much comfort,
yeah.
clears the mind. So those are the three points that I would talk about, that awesome. Will highlight.
Awesome. So let's pivot now. Let's talk a bit about your story. You know, because I don't imagine you've been a menopause coach your whole life.
I wish I was.
So, you know, what was your journey? Because I think you mentioned that you're postmenopausal now. So what yes. was your journey through that like? How did that affect your life? And then what led you into this space of operating as a coach, you know, writing the book and all of those sorts of things?
It's a long story, but I will cut it short. My pivoting point was 2017. Mm-hmm. I had just started the year and at work, and it's really a work thing for me because that's where I noticed I wasn't showing up 100%. I'd already started experiencing the sleep disruptions, and I didn't even pay attention to the irregular periods, but I had that. Mm-hmm. But what really stood out is my patience and irritability with the people around me. I had a little bit of brain fog, mm-hmm. but I chucked it up to just being burnt out mm-hmm. because I had a very high demanding job. And I was also single-handedly raising my two boys. And I'm like, oh my God, I am tired. You know, I've been doing this for so many years and I think it's time to just stop. Mm-hmm. And so I resigned from my job because I felt like it was either a do or die, mm-hmm. right? I felt like I just had to get out and just do something different for myself. Mm-hmm. I felt a dis-ease in my body, mm-hmm. very uncomfortable, like I wasn't myself and I just couldn't put a finger on it. Mm-hmm. But I chucked it up to the stress of the job, raising my kids, and also just high demanding. It's everywhere. Everywhere I turned, it was, Patrice, I need you for this. Patrice, mm-hmm. I need you for that. And so exactly, I would say about 10 months later, I had an irregular period. Mm-hmm. And my significant other said, you know, Patrice, that is not normal and you should see your doctor. But I said, I was just at my doctor mm-hmm. for a checkup and I'm fine. And he insisted. And so I called my doctor before I went. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, no, Patrice, that's not regular and you need to come in. And I went in and she examined me and she said, are you pregnant? I looked at her. I said, no, I'm not. No, ma'am. So she said, well, let me do a scan. And that's key for me, right? Because we've never done a scan. And she did a scan and she said, stand up for me. She said, sit up on the bed. And I sit up on the bed. And she said, this is baffling, because just how you see me mm-hmm. looking here, because I was always fit. I ran like 7 miles a day. Mm-hmm. She said, you have fibroids the size of a 6-month pregnancy in you. And then she said, I see something else, but I don't want to preempt it. Mm-hmm. But we'll have to run some more tests. She said, I saw you less than a year ago, and this is aggressive. I didn't even see this fibroid here.
Oh, wow.
She said, because it's so aggressive, I'm recommending that you have a hysterectomy. And then at your age, I think I was like 45, 46 at that time. Mm-hmm. She said, we're going to recommend a full hysterectomy. And she said, from my experience, most women who just opt to take out the uterus, mm-hmm. They come back a year or two later and have more issues, and I have to take out the ovaries and everything else. She said, so I suggest you do a complete hysterectomy. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, I looked at her like, are you crazy? Really? Like, this is not what I came here for.
Right.
Right?
This is not on the bingo card.
But again, that was me. As any other woman, so busy not paying attention to her body, right? And so I had the full hysterectomy. Well, running after the test, I realized I had endometriosis as well. And it had already seeped into the blood, and oh, wow. I was never diagnosed, ever. In my 40, whatever, well, less than that, because, you know, we start seeing a doctor at mm-hmm. a certain age. And I was so, I think I was like, I was hurt, I was angry. I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, that would be a flood of a lot of emotions at once.
A lot. And I'm like, what if I wanted another child? You know, our family is known for reproducing well into our 50s. I mean, I had 2 boys. I would have wanted a girl, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But all of that, it was so much emotions at that time. I just couldn't add it. I said, can I wait, like, till next year? Because this was like October. She said, no. This is so aggressive. Mm-hmm. It's growing so aggressive. By that time, she said, you may have like a 9-month size tumor in you, and you mm-hmm. need to get. And there, she said, they're solidifying rapidly. Mm-hmm. And so I had the surgery, and the surgery ended up being longer than expected. It was supposed to be 2 hours. It lasted 4.5 hours. Yeah. And when I woke up from surgery, I thought I was okay. So I was released 3 days later, and I went home, and I woke up in sweats, just the bed just wet. I had to change the sheets, and I'm having these hot flashes. I had like 20 to 30 hot flashes a day.
Wow.
My symptoms were so intense. I had migraines. I had dry skin.
Right, because now you're forced into menopause.
Oh, yes. You go straight into menopause.
Once you do the hysterectomy, you're in the full brunt of it.
No one prepared me. Mm-hmm. You know, because my doctor just said, you're going to go into menopause. You know, maybe you'll have one or two hot flashes. She said, you know, we don't know. We really don't know until you get there. And so I went to her a day or two later, and I said, listen, I'm having hot flashes and it's uncomfortable. My AC feels like it's not working, and I don't know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. Right? So she gave me the oral, I think it was estrogen at that time. Mm-hmm. And so I think 3 months into that, I realized that something was wrong. I ended up having, every morning I'm waking up with these big bruises all over my body or my extremities. So I had thrombosis, mm-hmm. blood clots.
Right.
And then I went in, and then I was told that my blood pressure was 100 and something over 100 and something, which is extreme hypertension. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of the one in a couple hundred thousands who cannot take oral estrogen.
Oh, yes. Right.
And so those were the symptoms. And, you know, at this time, I don't know what to do, because I want to be able to function, because mm-hmm. my hot flashes came with anxiety, depression, and also a low, but just depleted my energy. Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot to go through, especially when you just kind of, you cold turkey into it.
Oh my God.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, it was. My anxiety was around driving. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't drive my car, and everybody knew I was a very active person. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm up before the sun comes up. I'm running my 7 miles taking the kids to and from school, going to, you know, doing my work and all that. And don't forget, now I was just pivoting from leaving my job.
Right.
And so I started a company.
You're in a whole different, there's a lot of pressure.
It was a lot to take in. And I couldn't, I heard women talk, but they didn't want to share mm-hmm. their stories because menopause in this country is still taboo.
Honestly, it feels sometimes stigma. Like women's health in general, a lot of times still feels like taboo to talk about, right? It's like we will yes. talk about breast cancer till the cows come home, but the all of the different elements, like I remember we did an episode on PMDD with the two psychiatrists here at Oak Tree, and it's astounding all of the different types of issues that women face in their health, depending on, like, we talked about postpartum depression, PMDD, you know, now we're talking about menopause, and it just seems like there's so many different things, and it's just, there's not enough conversation, because, like I said, for a woman who, and I'm imagining that the lady, knowing the age of the person who called me, and it being one of her friends, this is a lady who's probably in her late 50s, early 60s, to not be able to identify, you know, relatively quickly that these are menopausal symptoms, it just says that we're not talking about this enough. We're not educating enough. Despite the fact that women will check in on their health more often than men, that means there's still not enough happening.
Right. Absolutely. You're correct. You're very, very correct, because there's no doctor that's going to tell you, Patrice, after your periods and when you stop having children, mm-hmm. then you're going to go into menopause. And so that wasn't something that was discussed. And a lot of women are, you know, when I go to various functions and I say something to them and they'll be like, oh, you had a hysterectomy? How is it you look like that? You know, how are you? How are you? And it's like, they want to slip a number to me so we can talk
right.
offline, right? And so I had to figure it out myself. Mm-hmm. I did my research. I found a doctor in the U.S. That did transdermal estrogen, and that worked for me. And I'm still learning mm-hmm. about various modalities of HRT, MHRT mm-hmm. that's coming out, because now that all of the powers that may be are questioning the WHI, and even the FDA came on and had a whole episode on menopause mm-hmm. and changing the black box warning on HRT for women. And so you have the UK, Canada, and the US, they're all lobbying for these things to happen, because HRT has been around from 1920s. Mm-hmm. And one study, World Women's Health Initiative, happened because mm-hmm. they said, let's pour some money into this, because women are complaining that we don't research them enough to
right.
figure them out. And most of the medication that we take are based on research that's done on men than women. And so they said, okay, let's do this. And then they came out, not even before the test was completed, and they said, you know, hormones, HRT, causes cancer. And that, for women, they need to know that there is more hormones in your birth control than there is in HRT. Because a woman in an older age does not need all of that hormone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are at a fraction of what is in birth control. So
right.
If it is that bad, we have millions of women who are on birth control and we don't have that issue. And so why is that happening?
Mm-hmm.
Why, you know? And so it's like, it's a disservice to women.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, that we didn't get the education. Number two, that the physicians and the healthcare system is not prioritizing education around menopause and knowing how to treat us women at a certain age, because, you know, we are, if we live long enough, we're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in 2030, 1.2 billion women are going to be in menopause. Think about that. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
We need to do away with the taboo. We need to come into the times that, you know, okay, we've done a disservice to women. Now we need to highlight this
mm-hmm.
and pay attention. You have Halle Berry. She did a whole pivot on her career.
Mm-hmm.
When her doctor, she went into the doctor and she had some discomfort in her, that area.
Mm-hmm.
And she was told that she had herpes by her doctor. And she said, while she was processing this and talking to her significant other, the doctor called her back and said he was mistaken. And she is in menopause.
That's intense.
It's very intense. And that just goes to show that we're very much underserviced.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the tools and the education that we need, because she did not know. When Halle Berry told her manager that, hey, I want to lobby for this education,
mm-hmm.
she started a company called Respin. Her manager told her, that'll be the death of your career, because who wants to hire an actress who's in menopause? That means you're old.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, especially in that space, that is a particularly toxic space, right? But it is sometimes indicative of workplace culture in general. Like, that might be an extreme version of it, but you do find that there are a lot of spaces where, you know, those sorts of considerations aren't necessarily taken, and they're not considered, they're not, you know, taken into account for how you manage, how you set a policy, all of those certain things. But that's because you would imagine that someone who has the resources that she does would have, you know, a top medical professional, you know, seeing her, and to mistake menopause for herpes is unfathomable, right? But it goes to show how much room there is to grow, how much more there is space for education, and how there's room for someone like you that's operating in more of a coaching space to kind of come in and assist, right? Because and that's where Menalox comes into play.
Absolutely.
So obviously you mentioned you transitioned out of you know, where you were working. How did Menalox then come about?
So after dealing with all of that and finding my solutions, I had a lot of women coming to me and just generally going out and meeting people and networking, asking me, you know, I love your skin.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep in shape? Because they know me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just tell them what I'm doing. And I said, you know, I'm giving all of this information. I said, this can be, and I was just very passionate about it because I needed that help.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to pour into other women.
Right.
And so I decided to make a career out of it. And it started pretty slow. People were like, what? What do you do for a living? Is that a thing in this country? Is that really a path that you want to go on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I, last year, because I had another company that I was in wholeheartedly, an insurance agency that mm-hmm. I had started in 2018. I sold my shares so that I can put my 100% focus on Menalox.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went straight into it. And my business partner said, really, Patrice, if that's your passion, you do that.
Yeah.
He said, but that's a tricky slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so, you know, but go after your passion.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. That's the thing. I feel like, you know, sometimes we don't realize how the specific situations and circumstances we go through, especially when there's a passion that's derived out of it, it almost feels like it's a disservice to you as a person to not chase it and to not like fully run it through its course and see, well, how far can this really go?
Right.
Just for you as a person to feel like, you know, the self-actualization of, I have this passion and I'm running after it. But then also in a space where what you're doing can be so helpful to others, it's like, well, I'm not just doing a disservice to myself, I'm also doing a disservice to others by not helping them and providing this information and giving them a space and somewhere they can come to kind of get the information and the insight, like you said, that you wish you had when you started going through your journey, especially with, you know, the hysterectomy part of it and being like you were just literally thrown into it.
Yes.
Whole hog, you know, that's a lot to kind of to go through.
Process.
Yeah. You know, we mentioned at the outset that you have a workbook, your menopause roadmap. So what led to that part of your story? How did we go from, you know, selling the shares in your company, diving wholeheartedly into Menalox, and now moving into the space of, okay, I want to create a piece of content that's going to also continue to help people in this space?
I mentioned before that menopause is very taboo,
mm-hmm.
and women live in the shame, you know, that they're not allowed to age. And so when I put out there that I'm a menopause coach, I didn't have many women coming eagerly for mm-hmm. the information. So I said, you know, they're still in that mindset that they don't want people to know that they're seeking help and guidance. And so I said, you know, I'm going to put this pen to paper mm-hmm. and I'm going to write something. And I'm going to pour all of the information that I know into this book. So it's a two-part. It's a book and then a workbook, okay. right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it took me a while, a year in the making of rewriting, writing again. But there's so many menopause books out there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to put a Caribbean spin on it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I wanted to put a little bit of our colloquial in it. You know, when we talk about our diet and we do our peas and rice mm-hmm. and, you know, and our fried chicken and macaroni, I wanted to say, hey, you know, this is our diet, but we need to rethink this,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I wrote it from that standpoint based on lifestyle medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And then also give you a little more information about what is really available out there when it comes to assistance for women who like have the extreme,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I wrote information about the background on WHI,
mm-hmm.
you know, all of the HRT, MHRT, other medication that they give you, including the antidepressive medications that they give that assist with the anxiety. But in the book, I let women know that, you know, you need a village of physicians
mm-hmm.
when it comes to extreme menopause symptoms. Like, you need to figure out what's going on with your symptoms and figure out which doctors with an S you need. And if your doctor isn't working and they can't help you, then you need to find a new doctor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was one doctor recently that got her menopause practitioners certification from the Menopause Society in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
She is the first. And I love that because that means that there is room.
Yeah.
Right? And so the book is relatable as mm-hmm. far as the way it's written.
Mm-hmm.
Caribbean, warm, with the colloquial that we're used to. Yeah. And it's not far-fetched. You know, we're not going to tell you go and eat a lot of lettuce and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a firm believer in balance
mm-hmm.
in your diet and workout.
Yeah.
You know, so that's really where that came from. And I do have a Menopause 101 course
mm-hmm.
on my website as well for women who don't want to come in.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I feel like, you know, even in this space, I think it's always good to learn from other arenas, right? So like we see that in the mental health space, you have platforms like BetterHelp and things like that. So there's a lot of things that are that have been created around this idea of I don't want to be seen like walking into the psychiatrist's office, or I don't want to necessarily be seen talking with someone about this. And so creating these avenues that are digital, that are, you know, in the privacy of your own space, I think becomes very useful and very helpful for people because it allows them to get the information that they need, perhaps without having to feel any of the stigma that may come along with, like how people will say, I don't want anyone to see me walking into a psychiatrist's office, like that same sort of vibe.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who is the book for?
The book is for all women.
Okay.
Even the young ones.
Mm-hmm. Is it for men?
For men. I do think that I do have a portion in the book on for men,
mm-hmm.
for the supportive man. That's what I say. Because when you mention menopause to men, they're like, oh, I don't want to know about that. I don't want to hear about that.
It's funny how men's reactions to things are, it's like, we don't grow up. It's like,
yeah.
in primary school, it's cooties. In high school, it's something else. It's like, you don't ever want to hear about it. It's always something like,
we don't want to talk about the periods then.
Right.
Right? And now it's menopause. But I do have a section in there for men, you know, to break it down simple. What's going on
mm-hmm.
with your significant other or your mother, your sister, your daughter.
Right.
And so, you know, how to approach it from an empathetic standpoint, how mm-hmm. to talk to your significant other, how to support them and how to be there and hold space for them as well.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's really for everyone who is curious on what is menopause, you know, how do I manage it if I'm mm-hmm. having these symptoms? And if my wife is going through it, you know, how do I help her?
Right.
What is she really going through?
And that's how I say, I think, you know, like you said, for a man who has, whether it's his wife, his mom, his sister, someone close in his life who's going through it, it might also be beneficial just to get an understanding. I glanced through, even just looking at the chapter title, it's obviously written in a way that it's very relatable, it's very approachable. It's something that people would be able to easily wrap their head around. I do think that it is written for everyone, right? You don't have to be, you know, a PhD to be able to read
Absolutely.
And understand it. It's meant to be very, very easy to walk into, read
like
and understand.
Like a conversation.
Yes. And it reads that way. It reads as being very conversational. I think that that's helpful because you don't want to feel like someone's talking down to you. You don't want to feel as though, you know, you're ignorant or you're uneducated. You're just looking for help.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very good way to kind of approach the conversation.
Absolutely.
Is it's almost like as a friend who's walking you through, you know, who's been through it, who's able to kind of walk you through their research, their own experience as well. You know, we've had so many conversations and we have a couple more coming up where we've been talking with people who are in the HR space, people who are in the leadership space. It's another topic area for us at Vital Voices that we like to kind of talk through. Obviously, in a space like this, one of the things that then comes up is, you know, where is there help for people in managing this in the workspace? Both from the individual, I am a woman who is in perimenopause and menopause who has to go into work every day, but also from the leadership and the policy perspective of how we can make workplace environments more conducive to people who are going through this phase of life.
Great. I get that question a lot. So Manalux has a two-tier offering, mm-hmm. one for the individual,
mm-hmm.
And this is 7-part coaching sessions
mm-hmm.
that walk you through what menopause is, managing your symptoms, lifestyle changes, cognitive behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of like a toolkit to put your life back together.
Right.
You know, because some women, when they go through menopause, it's like falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like a rebirth, you know. And then the second tier is for companies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do executive coaching where I go into the workspaces and I educate about menopause
mm-hmm.
from management down. And then there's another part, it's HR training, HR and the law and
mm-hmm.
menopause. And we talk about what is implied in the law when it comes to equality
mm-hmm.
and how that impacts having a menopause inclusive environment and culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also teach HR how to implement menopause inclusive policies.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them the best practice template
mm-hmm.
to show them what they can do and how to do it. And so it'll be for them to decide which of that information they're going to take
right.
and implement. And then there's a third element to it where I have something called a menopause champion training,
mm.
where there's a person who's passionate like myself
mm-hmm.
in the workplace who's going to say, okay, well, I want to take up the mantle and be here and hold space for women
mm-hmm.
in the workplace, and I want to be a menopause champion.
Okay.
And so that person gets training on, you know, on menopause and how to deal with menopausal women and also how to assist HR. So that's what I offer, and I do hope that it's going to be something that workplaces take advantage
mm-hmm.
of, because when you're planning your end of year, and it's coming up now, you're
mm-hmm.
doing your end of year planning, and you're making all of these provisions for wellness throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to include menopause
yeah.
as well. You know, I think the culture needs to change in the workplace, because I hear a lot of older women saying, companies are hiring younger women
mm-hmm.
and the younger women are saying, okay, now it's time for you to leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've had your time. But I want people to know that when you get older, you are more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
That experience you cannot pay for. And the companies need that because
yeah.
they have invested in that.
Mm-hmm.
And those older women who are in the company, they need to stay there in order to pass that knowledge and experience
down.
On.
Yep.
because there won't be legacy in the company without that.
You know, like I say, it's a very strong conversation point for us on the show, because one of the things that we see a lot of, or we don't see enough of, is succession planning. And a lot of that is driven by, you move older professionals out of the organization for younger ones. And a lot of times you don't create that culture of, you should be investing now what you've learned as someone who may be approaching retirement age, you know, in those young ones that are coming in, things that they're not going to see from what they experienced in their books in college, that they can, you know, perhaps prevent some easy mistakes because they just get it from someone who's been there, seen that, and done it, and knows it from the actual practical experience as opposed to just what you saw in the book. And so that's a, like I said, that's a challenge that, you know, I think we see worldwide, is this concept of succession planning, passing information and wisdom down from the older generation to the younger ones. There's a lot of, again, it goes back to the point earlier, there's so much that's set up to create isolation, right? And that's another area where isolation is being created, is not creating environments that are conducive for the different generations to interact in a workplace and commingle and feel safe to pass information back and forth, right? Because even for the young ones coming in, you can add vibrancy and extend the career and expand the career, perhaps as someone who is moving into retirement, where there's something that you've learned that's new and fresh and exciting that you can impart on them, and then everyone benefits, yes, right?
Absolutely.
And this is how things should fundamentally work. So it's amazing to hear your approach to this is very thorough, because you're coming at it from all sides. You're looking at the individual, you're looking at the policy structure, you're looking at leadership, and kind of wanting to invest in it, and then also, like you said, from the menopause champion standpoint, so you're trying to cover at it from all sides, right? Whereas even when you step away and Metalux has done their work, then there's someone left behind to continue to champion the effort even after, you know, whatever that process looks like is completed. And so it's a very holistic view on how you assist companies in navigating through this. So that is, it's very exciting to hear. You know, we've had a lot of interesting conversations on this show. We had Dr. Taz on talking about infertility issues and how that speaks into policy in the workplace as well. And so this is another one in that kind of frame of, you know, something that is definitely within the sphere of healthcare, but there's so many different unique angles and takes that you can have on it and ways that you can help people. And at the end of the day, I think for us, it's about providing that avenue for education and showing people where they can find help, where they can find, whether it's at an individual level or at a corporate level. So I think, you know, I think that's it. I'm looking through. So I want to thank you. This has been a very engaging and amazing conversation. I think it's going to be very helpful for people, whether it's, you know, whether you're a woman who's navigating it yourself, or you're a leader in a space and you're thinking, this may be something I want to invest in to help, you know, make the culture and the environment for the women that are in my organization to make that better. So thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and coming on the show and talking with us about your program, about your book, about your story, your experience. This has been an amazing conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alexis. And if anyone needs to reach out to me, my website is www.menoluxspa.com. And of course, you can join the WhatsApp support group from my website. You can book a consultation from my website. And so all the information is in there, including my YouTube channel and my Instagram page, all of my social media handles are there. So, but thank you. It was an honor to be here today.
Great. So, Patrice, once again, thank you for your time, your honesty, and your expertise, and for the work you're doing through Menalux to make this season more navigable for women and more inclusive for workplaces. We will put the link to all of your coaching, your resources, your website on the show notes, so that for our listeners, if you're listening and you want to take the next step, you'll have access to that information right away, even just from jumping off of the podcast. And again, to our listeners, we want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. If this conversation has helped you, please follow the show. Please reach out to Patrice. And also share this episode with a friend or a colleague who may need it. If you have questions or topics you'd like us to explore, send them our way. We love hearing from you. Until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
Vital Voices.